Hey everybody, welcome to the club, the creepy club.
The creepiest.
I'm Rissa.
I'm Heidi.
And in this podcast, in this club, we like to talk about creepy stuff. Like things that make us shiver and shake. That was a weird one.
Yeah, and stuff that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I think like creepy club with a subtitle of oddities would be fair.
Curiosities.
Come
see our museum curiosities
and oddities. And our most recent curiosity and oddity is that I now hiccup in every episode.
Did you just hiccup?
Yeah.
Oh.
So our new drinking game is if Heidi hiccups, take a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm going to turn, make sure my phone, because that was the drinking game for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I had like two episodes in a row where I couldn't keep the phone turned off.
Yeah.
So I think we should jump straight into the weirdness of last night.
Oh, okay. So I have
and then we can do our corrections and conclusions, clarifications bit.
Yeah, totally. So I'd been out with a friend of mine. We went to see a show, a theater type show.
Theater.
And I had a couple of beverages, nothing too unsafe.
No wine, because she wasn't at home.
No wine. Actually, I did have a glass of wine, which is funny.
Liar.
I know.
I asked you directly if you had wine, and you said no.
Well, I did lie.
This is what happens with big sisters. Sometimes the truth just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, so I'd had a couple of beverages. I mean, I don't know that that's super important to the story, but, you know, just to paint a picture of my mindset at the time. I'm driving home, and it is, like, biblically windy out.
Like, apocalypse is coming. So, other side of the story is that I am at the Creepy Club meeting,
mm-hmm.
which like typically...
real-life book club that we have.
Yeah, the book club that... usually you do attend, but you had a prior commitment, so mm-hmm. you weren't able to come. And I was getting ready to leave at just about the same time you were getting ready to leave where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And when our friends Megan and Chris left, they opened the front door, and I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
And I texted my husband and was like, I'm not taking the highway home
mm-hmm.
because it was... like the kind of windy where I'm like, if
a
it starts,
tree could like snap and.
Well, I was more worried about like if it started raining, it was going to be like raining sideways and blowing my car around.
Totally.
And I thought I'd rather be going 30, 35 miles an hour and dealing with that than being on the highway where, you know, somebody in a giant SUV thinks that they're impervious to weather
mm-hmm.
and they drive like it's a bright sunny day with dry roads, and then everyone else is driving normal.
Yeah.
Like a sane person.
Totally.
And, you know, so I was having like fear of accident.
Yeah.
Because before I even left, just because of how windy it was. And I did have a really bad car accident.
Mm-hmm.
So I am maybe a little more cautious, but I would say I've done my appropriate therapy homework. I don't avoid driving on the highway or anything like that. But when the conditions are dicey, I'm okay with, I'm like, what's so important that I can't take a few more minutes to get home?
Totally.
Right?
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And like kind of on top of all this wind, it was also kind of gloomy. It had been pretty misty and kind of spooky looking all day.
Foggy.
And that continued into the evening. And this wind sort of came out of nowhere because I was outside prior to that, you know, leaving. When we went over to my friend's house after the show, and it was fine, you know, it was like a little chilly, but that was it. And, then this wind came out of nowhere and started to,
there was something kind of, there was like a sense of foreboding.
Yeah.
In the air. It was really,
it was just so spooky, and I just felt...
it was really spooky, and I generally don't get, like, that kind of, I don't know, like, off-kilter vibe about my environment.
Right.
I might get that sort of intuitive vibe about an individual or a particular situation.
Yeah, totally.
But there was something that just kind of felt like it was hanging in the air that was really unpleasant and foreboding.
Yeah.
I don't know any other way to explain it.
And I'm not really sure what made me think of you, but I was like...
Well, because I'm awesome.
I was like, I gotta call Heidi and make sure she's okay, because I just feel so weird and so dreadful. And so I got home and called you and was like, hey, this might sound weird, but is everything okay?
Well, and the weird thing is, at the exact moment you called me, I was only maybe a couple minutes past where I would have used the on-ramp to get onto the highway. And I was at that decision point, am I going to risk it and get on the highway to go home?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I just going to go ahead and continue straight? The downside of going straight was that I was going to have to go through some kind of small, they are literally called villages, even though it's in the city,
mm-hmm.
where there's a lot of police presence and you get tickets for stupid stuff. And also some neighborhoods that are less than desirable at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But that still seemed like a more attractive option. I was like, I can just take the slow roll.
Right.
And not have my anxiety be so high, because I had this like very tense feeling. And when you called me, I was like, it's so weird that you called me. Like, one, you're like, this sounds totally crazy. And I was like, well, one, I'm like, glad.
Who are you talking to?
I was like, I think it just speaks to the bond, but also like in the connectedness between humans,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you and I have gotten a lot closer in the last year, especially, but yeah. in the last couple of years. And so I think that those, there's kind of like, now this is going to be really woo-woo for me as a skeptic, but I do think that there's this sort of like energetic thread that connects people. And it's almost like somebody rings your bell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Like plucking a guitar string or mm-hmm. something, like where you have that, like two people think of each other at the same time. Or I was telling you on the way home that when I do street outreach, we will pull up to a location and we'll only see a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I'll tell whoever I'm with, I'm like, no, wait. There's more people, and people will, it's like they drop them out of the sky,
mm-hmm.
like not visible at all. I don't think anyone's texting each other.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's not a newsletter. It's always at a different time. It's not always at the same place. So there's no reliable schedule to follow, but somehow people intuitively know
this is where I should go. Something
is going on. A handful of those people might see somebody.
Right.
And be like, I'm going to go check it out. But we will go from seeing like three people to 15 people who are absolutely not visible and have clearly walked like sometimes maybe a couple blocks. So I know they didn't talk to anybody. So it's kind of like, I think it, like, is there some sort of like energetic bell ringing?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
totally.
I don't know what you would call that, but
yeah,
something.
I like the way that you described it. It makes sense.
Yeah, it just is, I don't know, sometimes I feel a really strong pull towards certain people,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have a science explanation for it. I do know that it's a very real experience for me.
Yeah.
I had an unhoused woman I was keeping my eye on earlier this week. I had seen her a couple times in the same location, but at times where I like absolutely could not stop and talk to her. But there was something about her in particular that really, I don't know, really caught my attention. And she was in a very visible spot. I'm sure lots of people saw her.
Yeah.
But I just felt really drawn to her, like I needed to go talk to her. And so I was finally able to go talk to her, and it turned out that she had come to St. Louis and whatever her plans were didn't work out, and she didn't have money for a ticket to get home. And I could also tell that there was some developmental disability there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knew exactly how much the ticket cost, but I don't know if she could have navigated to get back where she needed to buy it, even if she had the money.
Yeah.
You know? So I said, well, I have friends who donate money to me or, you know, donate to Street Outreach, like, trust me to be a steward of that money and spend it. So I had enough to buy a bus ticket to get her home. And we ended up, there was a winter weather advisory, so we ended up closing the office early and going home. And in between regular office and home office, I picked her up and took her to the bus stop and bought her a ticket. And then connected her, like introduced her to the security guard, and then had a little side chat with her. I was like, look, I think here's the receipt for her ticket. Her ticket's like, I gave her a poncho because she didn't have a coat. It's in the zippered like kangaroo pouch. I think, you know, she's having some struggles. Can you please help make sure that she actually gets on the bus? Because I can't stay with her. And why that person?
Right.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, you're such an angel. I'm like, well, whatever. That's not, like, to me, that's so not the point. First of all, I could never do those things if people didn't make donations.
Right.
So I'm not doing it by myself, yeah. Really.
Right.
You know, I'm the one running the errand, but other people are funding it. And I feel like in the end, I'm really the person that is the recipient of the gift.
Yeah.
You know, that I have an opportunity to play a role in getting somebody home,
mm-hmm.
which I think, oh God, I mean, she just was so out of her element. And I had checked with people in my community who, you know, probably know just about every person who's unhoused, and nobody knew who she was. And the next morning I woke up and I was like, oh my God, what if she was a missing person? And so I Googled her to make sure that somebody wasn't looking for her.
Yeah.
And came up with nothing. Unfortunately, I think she probably doesn't necessarily have anywhere to go when she got back to her city, but at least there's some familiarity with the system, because she was so far away from the resources that are lean but exist here in the city.
Yeah.
But I think the idea of that sort of energetic thread is fascinating.
Yeah, totally. So I get home.
Oh, sorry. That was a really long tangent.
So I call you and we talk for a minute. And then I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to get out of my car and like walk up to my porch and wait for you to get home. And I get out of my car and there's this like black circle on the ground. And I'm like kind of narrating to Heidi as I'm doing this.
She's like, what the fuck is that?
I know. This is so weird.
What's going on with this weather?
I was so freaked out. And I flipped the mat over and it says, you are here. And I kind of lost my mind at that point. Like, kind of hysterically laughing because I just did not understand what I was looking at. And it felt like very much like a sign or something to me. I mean, it was literally a sign that said, you are here.
Well, and you were laughing and explaining to me, I'm like, I'm thinking, is this like a real estate sign? Like, so somebody knows they're in, like, this is where the open house is, or right. This is where the party is. And you're like, no, it's like this, like, rubbery stuff, like a floor mat in a car. And I was like, what the fuck landed in her yard?
Right.
Because this was totally Wizard of Oz wind.
Yeah. Totally.
Oh. Some bit of a broken
car. I saw that
car. Yeah, landed in my yard.
Yeah.
At first, my husband thought somebody hit our car.
Yeah.
Because it was similar enough looking. He was like, wait a minute, are all the pieces on the car? And it was, I think, someone who had an accident at the end of the street. So
yeah, I know.
It went a pretty good distance.
Yeah, I saw that piece there for like a couple days. And it's like a big chunk of a bumper. It's probably not light at all.
No, and I don't think you can put it back on and fix it, so it's okay.
Right.
Like, I don't think anybody's going to come looking for it. No. It is at the curb, should they come looking.
Right.
But then I couldn't stop laughing hysterically because I was like, it's the mothership. This is where you're supposed to stand.
Yeah.
It's where you're supposed to stand.
I think we determined it's probably a welcome mat.
I think it's definitely a welcome mat.
Which is funny because that never really occurred to me that night, even though I said it's kind of like a mat, like a floor mat.
Like a floor mat. Well, usually welcome mats aren't round.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like black on black lettering.
It's just a novelty item.
Yeah. It was just weird.
But it also seemed really perfect for like, X marks the spot. This is where you stand when the ship comes.
Yeah.
So they can beam you up.
Yeah.
Which, so, you know, I love to teach you about aliens.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was our weird night.
And then it was really weird. And then we were talking about premonitions and like that sense of anxiety definitely tapered off the closer I got to home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the further away I was from the highway. And like, I don't know. I mean, there's really no way to prove one way or another if I would have at that decision point made a different choice, would things have turned out different?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. But if I hadn't called, like.
Right. But I do think that it is kind of interesting that we both had that like deep sense of foreboding.
Right. And it's not like.
And you've never called to make sure I'm okay before.
Right.
And I've known you for a pretty long time.
And it's not like every time it's windy outside, I get a bad feeling, or any time that there's like inclement weather of any kind. I don't think I've ever felt that way before.
Well, people in Missouri are like
powerful.
Famous for standing on their porch during tornado warnings like a bunch of idiots.
Oh, I loved doing that as a kid.
I go to the basement. Just like I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
Yes. If you live in Tornado Alley like we do, the proper procedure is to take all the pets and all of the valuables and a flashlight, maybe a snack and a board game because you could be there for a while, something to listen to the weather, and go to the lowest part of your home in the room with the least amount of windows.
Right.
And about 50% of people I know do that, and the other 50% stand on the porch.
I do now. When I was a teenager, I used to like to just watch the weather with my friends at their houses because my mom would probably never let me do that.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like she's smart or something.
Right. So I think we could move on into creepy corrections, conclusions, and clarifications.
Okie dokie.
I am slightly sleepy on this episode, so I apologize if I'm not my normal chipper self. I don't know how normal that is, but so I don't have any for the latest episode, the Munchausens by Proxy, because I haven't quite finished editing that yet. But I do have one thing to say about the Haunted Artifacts episode. I kind of mentioned that I wanted to become a Patreon patron for the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal and Occult, and that I'd like to kind of see what happened to them when they did the 3D scan on the Catskills Crone. And then kind of report back. And then I was like, later on, I was like, why did I say that? Because that's just like giving away their content for free. So instead of doing that, I'm going to encourage everybody to go and donate to their Patreon and go see for yourself. I'll put the link in the meeting minutes, or it's probably already up there. So
I think it's already there.
Yep.
I'm enjoying a Slurpee.
Yeah.
In the winter.
That's totally crazy. I used to go to 7-Eleven all the time and get two taquitos and a Slurpee. And for some reason, the combination of those two things is absolutely delicious. Like a Coke Slurpee.
Super sweet, super salt.
Yeah.
Salty. I thought this was cherry, even though it's Coke colored, because the signage was off.
But it's Coke.
It's definitely Coke. It's not cherry. Mm-hmm. I was like, isn't cherry always red? I'm like, who knows what the kids are doing these days? And so I just... That's and then really I was funny. Like, whatever, this tastes good. I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay, so that's literally all I had to say about the creepy corrections, conclusions, and
clarifications. And I have not had time to catch up with my friend who said the thing at the art museum gave her...
I really am dying to know about that.
Her coworker blood poisoning. And she's also, like, a super sciencey person, not a woo-woo kind of person at all. So the fact that she replied so quickly with, oh, hell yeah, I know about it, and it gave my friend blood poisoning, is super surprising to me.
I think you should, like, call her like you did with your ex.
Well, we're overdue for a lady date, but if we can't get that on a calendar in the very near future, I will just call her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's, and she's like, I don't know, she's really fun to talk to. She's really smart, and she's a writer, and she loves wordplay. Mm-hmm. So she's always really fun to talk to. There's always a little bit of a puzzle. She likes to drop little Easter eggs. So if you are someone who's paying close attention,
mm-hmm.
and, like, pick up these little things, she's just, I don't know, she's smart in a way that most people aren't.
That's cool.
Yeah, so she's really fun to talk to.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So should we jump into our topic?
I think we should.
All right. I did some research today on the Huska Castle. The Huska Castle is 29 miles north of Prague in the Czech Republic. It was, let's see, it's like, they people think it's like the best preserved castle of the period in which it was built. And I'm going to show you some pictures.
I was going to say, for those of you who are doing web along, surely we will have a link in our meeting notes so you can pull it up.
Yep,
absolutely. Okay, wow, that's not creepy at all. Those big devil heads on the website, they're really milking that creepy vibe.
Yeah, their website is pretty creepy. But yeah, so it's not like a typical like medieval castle. It looks more like a manor house to me.
Yeah, I don't know that I would call that a castle. I mean, it's a big ass house, don't get me wrong, but my mental model of what a castle looks like is much larger.
Yeah.
Yeah, this manor or
a mansion. And there's parts of it, like this is the chapel, which we'll talk about in a minute. There's parts of it that look really old, but then there's parts that they've updated to look very modern.
Which is always a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
Maybe not the most talented painter did those murals.
Well, this was like, we didn't know how to paint back then. It was like, when was this built? The second half of the 13th century. So it's been a very long time.
Oh no, there was plenty of, talented painting skilled painting at that time. I just think they didn't happen to have access to one.
So it was built in the second half of the 13th century, and it was probably ordered by the Bohemian ruler Ottokar II. And it's like built in a Gothic style. It's been renovated, blah, blah, blah. And it's changed hands, you know, throughout the time. And so something that's very, I mean, there's a bunch of things that are very weird about this castle. It doesn't have any fortifications. So it wasn't
it's like no moat, no gate.
Right. It wasn't built to be a protective structure. There was no water built into it or kitchen, so it was not a residence.
Was there an outbuilding for cooking?
No, nothing.
Okay, what they just like, it was like the 7-Eleven of castles? They just popped in, like a quick trip?
There's one theory or maybe fact that says that Ottokar used it as like an admin building for his empire.
So I guess everybody brought their lunchbox.
But it's like it's also in the middle of nowhere. There's no trade routes nearby. It's surrounded by forests and swamps and mountains. It's not very easy to get to. It didn't have any strategic value. It's kind of built in a weird place. The windows on the outside are fake, or some of them are fake. They're just glass panels in front of a wall.
This is a kooky castle.
Yeah. So they constructed it, the weirdest thing about it is that it was constructed over a very large hole in the ground that they called the Gateway to Hell. And it's a extremely deep hole. Nobody knows how deep it is because they built this castle over it. So now you can't get into it. And there was like folklore in the area about this pit before the castle was built. And people thought they saw animal and human hybrids crawl out of it. And there was also tales of dark winged creatures that would attack locals and drag them into the hole.
Ooh, like those, remember when I did the episode on the Akikahara forest and they had those creatures that pulled people into the earth?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Nope. Before it was built, I think this tribe of people they wanted to see what was down in the hole. And so they had prisoners that were on death row. They told them they would grant them a pardon if they agreed to be lowered into the hole and then report back what they saw. So they lowered a guy down in there. And a few seconds, he starts screaming his head off. And they pull him out of the hole. And he has aged 30 years in a matter of moments. He gets...
Okay, what kind of incentive was there for that? Because I feel like we have this hole that's like, I don't know, maybe going to the center of the earth, which might be hell or some other terrible thing. How do you feel about going down in there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you possibly going to offer this person?
Well, that's going to be a pardon for all. He was on death row.
Okay. I missed that part somehow. So if he volunteered himself for this task, he would be pardoned from death row.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess in that case, then you might as well, because the gallows looks like it's not going to be a fun experience.
Sure. So when he was pulled out, he was a young man when he went in. When he was pulled out, he looked like an old man. Wrinkles, white hair. And they said that he was so terrified by what he'd seen that they had to commit him to an insane asylum, and he died like 2 days later from unknown causes. It's always the creepiest way to die.
Literally scared to death.
Yes. So, so then they build the castle and they build the chapel directly over where the pit is. And those paintings that you were, totally dissing on, those are like the oldest frescoes in Europe.
I'm just saying I've seen better work. That's all.
And one of them depicts a left-handed half horse creature.
Oh,
Which is interesting. I want to see if we can find a picture of it because I actually haven't seen it.
A left-handed horse creature. So what's the one that's half goat, half man? What's that guy?
That's a satyr.
Thank you. So same idea.
This one's like a centaur, but it's drawing back an arrow. It's like an archer. It's drawing back an arrow and pointing it at a human. And it's left-handed, which is significant because back then, if you were left-handed, you were of the devil.
Well, sure.
And it's also unusual because a centaur is part of, like, pagan folklore. And you really, during that time, you didn't see pagan symbolism in paintings that were in a church.
Hmm.
So, okay. Yeah, historians think that's really an interesting thing. It might be referring to the alien-human hybrids that people reported having seen coming out of the pit. The gates of hell.
Yipes.
During the 17th century, during the Thirty Years' War, it was occupied by a rogue Swedish commander, Oronto, who was said to have practiced black arts and did like weird experiments on people. His soldiers also terrorized the nearby town. And eventually he was assassinated by local hunters as he was working on his elixir for eternal life.
Like you do.
Right. In 1836, there was a Czech poet named Karl Heinrich Macha, When he was staying at the castle, he had this dream. It was like more like a vision that he was being lowered into the pit, and he was transported to the year 2006, where a woman showed him moving pictures in a small casket, which could possibly be some sort of screen. And he said he also saw these tall cliffs with holes in them that projected eerie yellow light, which is funny because now on that site there is apartment buildings. So it's like tall cliffs with windows in it where there's light coming out of it. And at the time in 1836, that was, you know, we didn't have that.
That's super weird.
Isn't that weird? Then during World War II, it was, a secret Nazi headquarter. They think that they wanted that place because they'd heard the folklore of the Gates of Hell and they wanted to kind of harness that power. Because Hitler was famously like into occult stuff and trying to use that to his advantage. They performed inhumane experiments on the locals, as you do when you're a Nazi. Then they also stored their stolen library of like occult and esoteric books there. The current owner excavated three Nazi soldiers that had been executed by their own men. So that was kind of a weird thing. And then there's also evidence that it might have been a secret breeding farm for the Aryan race.
For the pretend Aryan race?
Yeah. Like they had
fertile
women and fertile men there and like stud them out like a horse.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Isn't that gross?
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's fast forward to present day when everybody's experiencing all this crazy haunting shit in the castle. So people report hearing a chorus of screams coming from underneath the chapel where the pit is. Isn't that a funny description? A chorus of screams.
That doesn't sound like singing I want to hear.
No. People have seen phantoms walking through the halls. People have reported seeing a hybrid creature, a human / frog / bulldog.
Mm-mm.
People also have seen a headless spirit in the courtyard where there's like blood gushing from the neck.
That's a no for me.
Yeah. The current owner, when he was having like a little get together, and he and his friends witnessed his drinking glass levitate from the table, then set back down and then slide to the middle of the table.
Okay, that is an almost exact replica of what happened when I went to those two girls' house and the glass slid across the table, except it didn't lift. It just slid several feet.
Was that water effect thing that happens? Like hydroplaning? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, so, and normally I would say yes, that was definitely what it is, except that that would probably only move a glass on a table that's not level, maybe a few inches.
Right.
This moved like 3 feet, and they were telling me about how their apartment was haunted happened.
Yeah, I remember this now.
And like how their stereo would turn on full blast, and obviously they turned it off and turned the volume all the way down,
mm-hmm.
and their TV did the same thing. And I was like, feeling a little creeped.
Mm-hmm.
And they handed me a glass and I set it on the table and it moved all the way across the table to the person across from me. And I was like,
bye.
Well, it was nice to meet you both. I'm going to go ahead and go. They're like, we told you it was haunted. I was like, mm-hmm. That's cool. I'm going to go now. Mm-hmm. And I never saw them again.
All right.
Yeah. But it didn't lift. And I don't know. It was just real weird. Yeah. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah. So that room that I showed you earlier that had all the like taxidermy on the walls and antlers and shit, that's called the Hunting Lodge. And two guests were hanging out in that room, and they heard a thump nearby. And so they turned to look what it was, and they see two humanoid-shaped shadow figures. And the figures were whispering about having killed some young girls.
Mm-mm.
Ugh. Mm. Whispering? No.
I hate whispering.
Yep. People have reported having extremely bad luck after staying at the castle. A lot of people have an aversion to entering the building. You get a sense of being followed or watched. People have reported a giant black dog. Also, this is horrifying. People have seen a Chang gang, maybe five people, and they all have horrible injuries or they're carrying body parts. Like,
ew.
Right. Gross.
Wait, so, like, as if they were prisoners of the castle at some time?
Yeah, I think so.
I hear some weird staticky noise.
Oh, it's your computer fan. Okay, hopefully we have fixed the sound issue. I think so too. It sounds good now. So the chain gang with the horrible injuries carrying the body parts. Yeah. Terrible. Then there's also report of a quote unquote mad monk that attacks you with an axe. Like the axe kind of goes through you because it's corporeal. No, the opposite of corporeal, right?
I don't know what that.
Ethereal.
Oh, I don't know.
It's not real. It's like, I don't know. I'm having trouble like pulling words out of my brain today. My brain's kind of sludge. So Ghost Hunters International did an episode there and I watched it and they have kind of an interview with the property manager. He gives them a tour before they do their investigation. And the property manager was talking about the first time that he went to the castle, he brought his dogs with him. And his dogs went absolutely insane when they entered the courtyard and started running around. And
you know I trust animals.
And they ran over to where they used to keep the prisoners, and they just started barking and going insane. And they wouldn't respond to him calling them back over, which was unusual for them. And then there was some stonemasons on the property that were working on repairs or something like that. And they reported hearing voices coming from a room in the castle. And when they went in there, there was nobody there. The property manager also saw a black figure. He's seen it like walk across a doorway or something like that. I forget which room it was, but he was in a room and he suddenly felt this like weird, like this energy presence next to him as if he was standing next to somebody, but nobody was there.
Yuck.
And of course, he also saw a woman in white. There's always a woman in white.
Yeah, or red. White or red.
Yeah. And she had long blonde hair. He saw her walk across this kind of balcony sort of thing on the second floor. They interviewed a visitor on the episode, and she said that her dog refused to enter the chapel, which is the room that's built right above the pit. And then there's a room in the lower levels of the castle that they've nicknamed Satan's Office.
Oh, nice.
I don't actually know what it's used for. They didn't say.
That sounds like a place I don't ever want to hang out.
Yeah, but it's like a super creepy room. It's like one of the old looking rooms and it's like limestone. I'm going to see if we can't see a picture of it here. I don't, but I'll show you a picture later.
Alrighty.
So in Satan's Office, people have reported seeing a faceless black robe priest, which might be the same as the mad monk earlier. Not really sure. And so during their investigation, they had a couple of experiences and then also got some stuff on camera. So the first experience that one of the investigators had. They saw a shadow figure move through a room and like towards the window. And when it got to the window, the birds outside started going crazy. And it was at night, you know, it was like in the middle of the night, which is pretty unusual for birds to be doing that.
Agreed.
He also saw, I think it's the same guy. No, it was a different guy. He saw a figure lean forward through a doorway and then kind of back out of the room, kind of like peeking in. And he saw that in the same room as the property manager saw the woman in white. And then, so then they captured some heavy breath noises during one of their like EVP sessions. And also, I think it might have been in the same room as the breathing noises. One of the investigators takes a rock and throws it across the room and is like, hey, can you do this for me? You know, kind of asking the spirit to do that. And they kind of takes a moment, and then a rock flies at him out of nowhere.
Uh-uh.
And then the same guy had this camera that he had a little remote shutter for, and he took a couple pictures, and then I guess walked away, and the camera started taking pictures on its own, and it took about 100 pictures by itself. And there's audio. There was nothing in the pictures, but there was audio recorded while the camera is taking these photos, and you can hear somebody say a word between the shutter noise, and the property manager listened to it, and he's like, it sounds like the Czech word poge or poji or something like that.
Okay.
And he said that that's a, it translates to like, come on, like come at me, like a challenge. I know. Creepy. So that's actually all I have about the Huska Castle, because there's not a whole lot more to say about it. Honestly, it's just really fucking creepy. And dang, we're only at like 46 minutes.
What?
I know. We need to go on more tangents. I knew that was going to be a short one, but I just found it so fascinating.
Where is this exactly? Remind me again.
It's near Prague in the Czech Republic.
Okay.
Oh, here's... Okay, I can also show you this, and there'll be a link on the meeting minutes. This is like a 360 view of...
Oh, I love it when that's available.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, some of the paintings are not bad.
Right.
Okay, take it back this about is, what I said about
Satan's
the paintings.
Office. So it's like really old looking, like limestone brick.
We don't have stuff this old.
Yeah. And it's got a lot of like blacksmithing tools.
I don't want to hang out there.
Yeah, it's real creepy. There's a lot of creepy, like...
Well, there's like
details.
This a giant is
like a doorway.
Anvil.
Yeah.
And then that's a... Oh, so there's... It's like catacombs.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
It's real fucking creepy looking.
Yeah, they're right.
And then this is the hunting lodge. I mean, it just looks like a hotel.
It got redone in the 80s or something.
Yeah, totally.
It looks strangely modern.
And here's the pink hall.
As does that.
Yeah, they do. They now have, they hold a lot of like supernatural conferences here now. And I think you can probably stay there. I'm not.
Okay, that color red. Sure. Makes my eyes bleed.
Yeah, it's super ugly.
And I love red.
Yeah.
But that
so,
is,
yep.
Whoa, a little intense.
Yep. So that's huh. The Huska Castle.
Well, I mean, it was pretty interesting, and everyone will have that, like, thick Eastern European accent.
Yeah, I thought that this had really interesting... stories behind, like, lore, right? Like, the alien-human animal-human hybrids, and, like, the human-frog bulldog. Like, what?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that particular combination before.
No way.
Mm-mm.
So.
That was a really unusual one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I don't know what to talk about.
Well, no, that's okay. You know what? It's not like we have some magic number.
Yeah. I kind of had not a lot of time to research because, well, I like, you know, I don't know if you do this whenever you do research for the show, but like I'll have like a few topics in mind and then I start going down the rabbit hole and then they don't end up really pulling up anything too interesting. And then I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to do this one. And then you start researching something else and then that doesn't really pull up anything. And so
it's just, well, yeah. I mean, me going down a research rabbit hole is pretty much what happens every time. It always takes 3 times longer than I think it will.
Yeah, totally.
Because I get distracted. I'm mm-hmm. like, ooh, that's interesting.
Right.
I think I've only had a couple times where the topic was like just too small.
Yeah.
Where I thought, oh, that probably needs to be, I need to save that when I have, you know, 2 other mini topics to go along with it or something.
Yeah.
Usually mine is trying to scale them to an appropriate size.
Yeah.
I have the opposite problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's okay. We, it's been a super busy, blah, 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 words, super busy week for both of us. And we had a like really weird night.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up super groggy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Anything, do you want to talk about Happy Little Craft Show?
I do. So I want to thank our sponsor, Happy Little Craft Show, which is coming up on Saturday, March 9th at Webster University from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It will be about 70 handmade craft vendors as well as vintage. And there'll be food trucks and a make and take. It'll be a really good time. It's free admission. And so I'm excited to get to go to that. You have exciting news to share.
Yeah, I got cast in a show.
Yeah, that's so fun.
Yeah.
And so are you allowed to spill the beans about your character?
Oh, sure. I mean, the show's called Flaming Guns of the Purple Sage, and it's a kind of dark comedy. There's lots of gratuitous blood happening, which is kind of going to be really fun. My character, whose name is Big Eight, was like a former rodeo star, but then got injured and is now a like rehabilitator of cowboys that have gotten injured. Like she has like these supernatural healing powers, or so she claims. Okay. And then there's like an unspoken rule that they sort of pay her back in sex. So she's like, she's kind of seduced, you know, she's into the younger cowboy men. And she's very sarcastic and opinionated and brassy. And I just love that character so much. And I'm so excited to be able to play her in a show. And I haven't been on stage in 10 years. So
I'm super excited for you.
Yeah, this is a really big deal. And it's free, so everybody should come see it. It's April 17th through the 21st at St. Louis Community College at Merrimack. Come see it, and I'll sign your program afterwards.
And I should totally try and coordinate with Mama Gail and Papa Don.
Yeah, and I actually think it's... this show it does lean into the creep factor a little bit because of how much blood is in the second half of the show.
Oh, you didn't say anything about that.
Yeah, so
okay,
it'll be fun. It's funny. It'll be good.
Well, I'm excited. I've never seen you do any acting before. Yeah,
neither has Brandon. So, because I mean we got together 10-ish years ago, so I was sort of at the tail end of my performing days when we met. So this is also very exciting for him.
Yeah, we'll have to definitely make sure it's a whole family affair.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
All right, so speaking of Brandon, thank you for intro and outro music. If you have any stories about Huska Castle or a alien, I keep saying alien, or an animal-human hybrid, or did a welcome mat just suddenly appear in your yard that said something kind of creepy? Tweet us at creepyclubpod or email us at creepyclubpodcast@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/creepyclubpodcast. You can follow us on Instagram at Creepy Club Podcast. You can follow me at Creepy Club Rissa. You can follow Heidi at Creepy Club Heidi. I will put all these links to all these interesting pictures of this castle on our meeting minutes, and you can see those at creepyclubpodcast.com. All right, we haven't had any new reviews in like months, it feels like.
I don't know. Folks are busy.
Yeah, I understand. I don't think I've ever reviewed a single podcast, so I get it. However,
it does make our hearts sing.
Yeah, if you feel charitable about your time, just please leave us a review on iTunes and rate and subscribe. So, I guess that's it. This is probably the shortest episode we've ever done. So,
it had to happen sometime.
Sorry about it. Yeah.
I don't think apologies are necessary.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, and we hope you join us next time. Meeting adjourned.